Gary, the news that you just broke about the MLB, about the Cubs sending the Sox some stuff. Yeah. One of my buddies, Danny, he's like, are the Cubs and Sox friends now?
Well, so next weekend is the Crosstown Classic.
Oh, wow. Huh. Oh, wow.
At Wrigley. That'll just... See, there should be a stipulation that Kimbrel can't come out of the bullpen for the White Sox.
He's like, we'll let you have him. He just can't pitch those 3 or 4 days.
There have been, sometimes there's restrictions like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I made one in fantasy football. I said, I will make this trade as long as you don't start him next week.
Well, just like my favorite Major League Baseball team, my fantasy team, I'm having a fire sale as well.
Oh. Oh, wow.
I found a way to add Bobby Witt Jr. to my fantasy baseball team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm having a fire sale. I'm like open for business.
Everybody must go.
Here is Luke. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Luke.
Hey, so my question is, and I've heard people kind of bring this up kind of briefly regarding conference realignment, specifically Texas and Oklahoma, the SEC. But my question is that we know what Oklahoma's been able to do nationally, being in the Big 12, recently, that you know, you can count on them going 11-1, 10-2, around there, if not even undefeated. Texas has obviously struggled in the last 10 years to mm-hmm. even approach that level. But my question is that are those types of expectations that Texas and Oklahoma have as far as record goes, are they sustainable in the SEC? And if not, does that mean that Oklahoma and Texas have to adjust their expectations for their football program? Or does that, if they don't, does that change how potential coaches in the future view their ability to succeed at places like Texas and Oklahoma?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Oklahoma feels like they can transition from what kind of a program they are in the Big 12, that they'll go into the SEC and they will be in that top 4 or 5. The Texas fan base, which is delusional, will tell you that they're going to go 12-0. They'll be better in the SEC than they were in the Big 12. I think the expectations probably won't change, but I think the reality will hit that instead of having, what do you think, Luke, in the Big 12 right now, if you're Oklahoma, how many games do you think you identify as difficult games that are maybe leaning towards a toss-up? Maybe 1.5, maybe 2 every year, where in the SEC you're probably going to have 4 or 5 of those?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd put the over-under in the Big 12 at 1.5. I'd say the over-under in the SEC probably about 3.5.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you'd have to adjust in your thinking and what is considered a successful season, like a record. But everybody's going to look, both of those schools are going to look at, okay, what do we need to get into the playoff? Be one of those 4 that'll probably come from the SEC.
Yeah, so you think that even if the expectations change, as long as they're in the hunt for the playoff, that'll be acceptable to them?
Yes. But if I'm Oklahoma, I look at my path now, my path to the playoff, and even more so with the expansion to 12, is a lot nicer in the Big 12 than it will be in the SEC. I mean, my path is pretty clear in the Big 12 to where I'm going now. There's some teams I'm going to be in the mix with. I feel good, but man, I might have to jump a couple of those teams. That's one of the, on the ledger of why is Oklahoma doing this that I keep going back to. You know, what to get to the playoff, which is the ultimate goal, easier in the Big 12 compared to the SEC. And then I remind myself, like we all do, it's about money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, agree with all of that, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
Luke, thanks for the phone call. We changed from being a sport to a business, and we're not going to go back. I'm still in my head trying to figure out what we will consider. Like, if you're on the college football playoff committee, and you've got to select the at-large teams when we expand the playoff, how will you look at the SEC? What is an acceptable record in the SEC? Like the fourth or fifth best team in the SEC, what if they have 3 losses? What if they have 4 losses? They're 8-4. And a Big Ten team is 9-3. or an ACC team is 10-2. You're going to have to, when we expand the playoff, you're going to have to expand the people that are on the playoff committee that understand how hard it is to win in football, what it takes to win, and what good football looks like, instead of just looking at a bunch of numbers. I think when the new playoff committee for the new playoff comes around, you're going to have football people, like really good football people that know what they're watching, what they're consuming. And I'm not just looking at numbers. I'm watching games. Because those kind of conversations are going to, you're going to hear the rattling of the saber. Oh, my 8-4 team could beat your 10-2 team. And you might be right. Let's take this back to the Big Ten when it comes to the playoff. Because this is about the money, and this is also what's the path to the playoff. How do we get more teams in the playoff? You're telling me we can have a third of the playoff? I'm in. So the Big Ten. The Big Ten's going to have one seat in the playoff every year. Might be the same team. You can't have it be the same team. What's the Big Ten path look like to get two or three teams in? The runner-up in the East, and to make sure that your West Division champion is also playing in the playoff. I mean, does this also go back to the conversation that I like to bring up about the Big Ten? Is it's going to come down to, please, Big Ten, start making decisions that are football-related, and that leads the discussion. Our goal is to get as many teams possible in the playoff. How do we do it? Does that mean we get rid of our divisions? We get rid of East and West so that we can have our top three teams in our league, even with the top two playing each other maybe again in our championship game, we can get the top three in. That's the Kevin Warren of the world in the Big Ten. They're going to have to figure out the roadmap. If you're not going to be able to compete against the SEC in adding two teams that make you go, ching, what is your path to get more teams in the playoff? Is that no divisions? Is that stressing the importance of football more? All of those things. Is Kevin Warren want to do that? Is he capable of doing that? Will he be allowed to do that? Because the SEC, Greg Sankey said, oh yeah, we'll add two major brands in Texas and Oklahoma and the money that we can generate. But that's also two more teams, or at least one, that we could make viable for the playoffs. So we could have a third of the playoff. We not only run college athletics, we now run the playoff with our TV partner ESPN. Big Ten has to go, okay, you got a third of it. How do we get three? What's that look like? We got one. How do we get two others? That would be, the Big Ten only got one, two. I mean, you have to set things up where the Big Ten can't be fewer than two teams in expanded playoff. They have to have the ability to get two teams in. Find a way, scheduling, divisions, whatever, to get at least two teams in every year. But then you want the third. I don't know if there's a roadmap in the Big Ten that you would get four teams into the playoff. But that roadmap has been figured out by the SEC with the expansion of the playoff and then adding Texas and Oklahoma to go to 16 teams. Are you going to give me more bad Cub news?
Yeah.
No. I thought I was just joking there.
No.
I have not looked at... is he a shortstop or a third baseman?
He's a shortstop.
Where to?
New York? Yeah.
To the Mets?
Yeah.
To play with his buddy?
They're in discussions, according to Ken Rosenthal.
Okay. That's been in discussions. Zach Davies has been mentioned. Chris Bryant has been mentioned.
Yeah. You know, this also affects me.
No, this sucks.
Yeah, it affects me. Javi's on my fantasy baseball team. We're trying to make a comeback, trying to push for the playoffs. Is New York good for Javi? Will he get opportunities there? He wasn't doing bad in Chicago.
You do know these guys, like the big three for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, Kimbrel was having a great year. They haven't been playing very well.
No, they haven't.
No. Maybe. This is going to be wild. If this ends up, so I thought through it all that maybe Rizzo would be the guy that became a Cub for life. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, it'll probably be Baez because there was a lot of chatter about Rizzo to Boston. So Rizzo goes to the Yankees. What if it is Chris Bryant is the only guy that's left and he was supposed to be the first guy out the door?
Legitimately. And then especially after that scene yesterday of him in the bullpen, that would be interesting.
You didn't need to bring that up. I'm sorry. We only got 17 minutes left in the show. But I love how I've changed you, how fantasy baseball has taken over your life.
It's frustrating. It is frustrating. Hey, but I'm paying attention. I'm making a push, Gary.
Well, I'm having a fire sale. So anybody in my fantasy baseball league, I'm wide open for business. You want Musgrove? Just let me have Patrick Sandoval pitch tonight, and then he's free. You want George Springer? You want Marte? Yeah. Yeah. I got a good injured list, though. I got some good players on that.
Oh, me too. Oh, yeah. Glass now? Oh, yeah. He's there. Bieber?
Buxton.
You want Bregman?
We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.